Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report, Sunday edition. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Appreciate you for tuning in on this Self-Care Sunday. Thank you so much. And again, the theme music is from Karizmizi, based in Istanbul, Turkey. A big weekend in Istanbul, Turkey also. So congratulations to Manchester City on the big win. Yes, so big shout out to the host hotel also, Park Hyatt Istanbul, owned by Sophie, Mr. Red Goche. So I don't know if I'm solo or not. I believe Cousin Linda will join us. Dave, you know, we're continuing the NBA Finals. So, big night tonight. Will Denver win it all? Or will Miami say, hold on, it's not over till it's over? So, we'll see, won't we? So Cousin Linda have joined us, and so we will discuss Self-Care Sunday, hot topics, her favorite dessert from and meal from her dine date with her friends, and you all be sure to call us on the guest listener call-in number, 516-595-8255. Again, If you're not listening online and you just want to dial in and listen, you can do that. Dial 516-595-8255. If you would like to join the convo, just press 1, or I will open the mic anyway. So if you want to just start talking with us, you can. But I won't just put you out there because some people like to just dial in and listen. So thank you again for tuning into Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and my cousin Linda Oliver is here. And there's a lot going on, a lot of events going on everywhere here in Jackson, Mississippi. Of course, in Big D, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and if you all want to, you know, call in and let us know what's going on in your area, please let us know. We have the Mega Everest Homecoming events that's been happening in the past couple of weeks and are still ongoing. Merle Everest herself in town. Also, I attempted to post pictures on our promo. The one picture I attempted to post was from back in the day with B.B. King, when it used to be the Mega Everest B.B. King homecoming, and that was in the 90s, and wow, have it grown to multiple events and throughout different cities and towns, not only in Mississippi, but throughout the country. Like Cousin Linda stated, she always wondered, being a teen working with the late Honorable Mr. Medgar Evers, I always wondered if he would be remembered, almost definitely. And Mrs. Merle Evers Williams is definitely getting her roses while she is still here, her flowers while she is still here with us. So we are also hosting the International Ballet Competition. So many of you might be here in Jackson from around the world. And that's amazing. Visit Jackson Visitors Bureau, so excited because Mississippi, I know ever since I was a little girl, have always been the host. Jackson, Mississippi have always been the host city, state in the United States to host the International Ballet Competition. So a big shout out to the competitors and their supporters and those that are traveling with them. A big shout out to them. And I think also the National Black Caucus are holding events this month. I'm thinking this week. I don't know if I'm mistaken. It seems like I've seen Nancy Pelosi supposed to come to town and a few others. And also there's a big GOP event dinner going on Tuesday, where a lot of movers and shakers are coming to town. So it's just an amazing time for people just to come together, if it's online and watching from their electronic devices and TV, or attending events in person. It's just been an amazing time, and I hope everybody's enjoying their summer, the beginning of summer, and also it's wedding season, graduation season. It's a season for everything. Wow, just you know, Father's Day weekend, next Sunday, June 10th, celebrations. Some will get that federal holiday on next Monday. So, whoa, yes. Cousin Linda have been posting some awesome things, and I'm behind on some of her postings, but she's been posting some awesome things if you all want to check out her Facebook page also, and she'll provide that information for you. So remember to email us at cultureshock, KULTRESHOKENT _Beth@yahoo.com. I have to hear stuff two or three times, so let me repeat it again. KULTRESHOKENT _Beth@yahoo.com. Cash App, for those that would love to help upgrade the show, it is definitely, anything you send would definitely go to the show, to the redevelopment and upgrading the show. That would be $Beth, B-E-T-H, B-True, B-T-R-U, Culture Shock, KULTRESHOK. So let's get this party started. Cousin Linda have a lot of topics that she, I don't know what we would discuss today, Bell Collective, or I know we're discussing favorite desserts today. We probably would devote Bell to, she can like start off talking about what she loves about Bell Collective. Those of you all that don't know, it's a very popular reality show that's filmed right here in the capital city. And she mentioned Rita Britt on our last broadcast, a YouTube YouTube video showing very nice places to go when you're in the Jackson area, but about a reality show being filmed here, they show a lot of places. And when I read her post, she points out the different locations that they visit that she loves. I honestly feel that Bravo, Ryan Seacrest Productions have been sleeping on Jackson. Because, you know, the Dancing Dolls were based here. And when they were on air, and now Mrs. Diana Williams is in Atlanta, but she and her husband still are active in the Jackson area. But I know when I'm in Dallas, that we mentioned the Mississippi Mass Choir. People love to talk about the Dancing Dolls, and whenever they travel to Dallas, I know people that will stand in line to see those young ladies do their thing and compete. So, but really, these are, wow. These reality show producers are sleeping. Because to me, I'm a fan of Southern Charm. There should be a Southern Charm, Mississippi. You know, there should be like, in politics, there should be a reality show following the community advocates and politicians around the housewives, singles. There should be something. There should be more. I know. Some of you probably say, why aren't you doing it, you know? But, hey, we just need to do it and post on YouTube, I guess, and do web series on Facebook and so on. I've been doing my best to start producing a documentary on Georgetown, our area that Cousin London and I talk about, really our roots. And when I first told Kenny Stokes' secretary, Ms. Mangum, like in 2018, that I had plans to film a documentary about Georgetown, she responded, we need a documentary. And I really would like to do a series of the different areas, starting with Georgetown and then do different communities, many that you hear Cousin Linda mention, a series of documentaries regarding the different neighborhoods and areas. But they responded to me, Jackson State students and other students are always approaching us regarding the history of the Georgetown community. And much to Cousin Linda's share is in regards to Georgetown community of Jackson and all over Jackson, really. But this is a city that is rich on history. And we have a checkered past, but it is really needed history, things that people need to learn. When people tell me that they've never been to Jackson, Mississippi, I say you should visit Mississippi at least once. And most people have a misconception. But I do know some people that come and start businesses that have never been here before and are successful. But let me stop. I didn't know I was going to go on and on, but just when Cousin Linda shared with me some of the topics she would like to discuss, I'm like, those are some good topics and some good happy topics too. Not, you know, not, okay, it's sad. But, you know, stories can touch us and make us cry or make us angry or inspire us to do more than what we're doing. So let me go ahead and be quiet and hand the mic over to Cousin Linda. I believe this was an introduction to Cousin Linda. but wow. Just amazing and just excited with all the events that are happening in regards to all the bad news, that's the negative news that sometimes we hear. So it's good to have all eyes on Mississippi for a lot of good events that are happening right now. And please excuse me, I hope I sound okay because I need to start back using my mic and putting my headphones on and using my laptop. I just need to reset up my podcast area. But I know you all need to hear all that, but just in case the delivery isn't as fresh as it should be, I just want to let you know. See? So it definitely will help if you all will not only listen, but help support so we can upgrade. Well, thank you, and let's get started with Cousin Linda, and I will shut my lips so she can tell us about her awesome lunch at a Canadian restaurant in Dallas and just her thoughts. And I will look up the schedule also because there are a lot of events. And I need to look up the schedule for those of you that would like to check out Mega Evers' events, because some are online if you're not here in Jackson to attend. Hello, Cousin Linda.
Hello, Cousin Bethany and worldwide listeners.
Hey, how are you? I didn't mean for your introduction to turn into 20 minutes.
Oh, that's okay. And do you wish there was a documentary that you had done on Georgetown?
I have a Facebook group that you're a member of. So I need to be sitting down interviewing all of you all.
Well, my friend Janet Smith's brother, Roger Butch Smith, did not a documentary, but he recorded a lot of video VHS tapes on Jackson when they were tearing down everything, especially he lives in West Jackson. And when they were tearing down to make way for the roundabout on Pearl Street and land for Jackson State University. And he had a friend of his, he was on the back of a pickup truck with that VHS recorder, recording a lot of the landmarks and just residences and stuff before everything got torn down out there in West Jackson in the area around State University. Yeah, and I'm glad he did that, I'm hoping that he still has that information. So someday he could post it on Facebook, YouTube, or something. Because it was such, a nice area and everything, and so much went on, and so many black businesses. We talk about all the businesses that were in Georgetown, Ferris Street, and there were a lot of businesses just on Lynch Street alone. Bethany, I don't know if you remember the College Inn, the Dollhouse, which was just right off Lynch Street, maybe 5 or 6 feet off Lynch Street, MJ Lyles, one of my former teachers, drugstore, Dr. John Davis.
Midtown Barber College, Mr. Johnny Harris.
Midtown
Barber College.
Afro Lounge, the red carpet, and that's probably one of the reasons why my grades at Jackson State were mainly in my major, social science, and I did get A's and B's in other classes, but my major, I didn't do as well as I should have, mainly because it wasn't me, it was the instructors. But I did spend a lot of time on Lynch Street. And the historic Masonic Temple is on Lynch Street, too.
Oh, yes, and it's still in active. It's still in existence and open, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jackson State University is on Lynch Street. And Beth, do you remember the old Penguin restaurant?
Yeah, and then I think someone reopened it too. John Hardy, reopened.
Well, he didn't open that one. He opened a brand new one across the street.
Right. He opened a brand new one that was, because he remembered that one.
Yeah.
Tell us about your days at that one.
Well, I used to, as a college student, I didn't have a lot of money, but I knew I could go to the Penguin and get that 2 hot dog special. They had this special with 2 hot dogs and French fries, and I think you might have been able to get a soft drink for about 50 cents. It was enough to really fill you up. And they had this special kind of sauce that they used to put on the hot dogs. I don't know what it was, but it was delicious. I spent quite a days in the Penguin. And there was
a special sauce, like Big Apple Inn have their special sauce, that secret sauce, huh?
Yeah. And there was a payphone right there on the corner and the bus stop. And if I had a class, and we used to have to take tests at night. I think it was the end of the quarter test or something. And there was a payphone on the corner right there by the Penguin and a lot of activity going on. I'd go to the payphone and call the stepfather to come pick me up. And it just, you know, mentioning that, it just brings back a lot of memories and good times that we used to have back in Jackson.
Right. That is good.
Yeah, the original Penguin is gone. I think they tore that building down, didn't they?
Yes.
That's sad.
Yes, a lot of buildings and a lot of houses were torn down, and, you know, Jackson State expanded. Some people would refuse to sell their property, though, but many did.
Well, there was eminent domain. I think most of those people did not want to sell, but the city came in and took it. They didn't have any choice.
Wow, yes. Right.
If people could have fought more to save all that preservation, because I was talking to a friend of mine some years ago, and I was saying, I got to take a trip back to Paris and go back and, you know, just certain places I would go and streets, and I was telling her about what businesses were on what streets or whatever, and she was saying, well, that's all probably torn down now. And I said, well, no, not these particular places. The businesses may have changed. It may be a different restaurant or whatever. I said,
right.
But in unserved buildings, they don't believe in repairing and starting all over. That's their history. And they don't tear things down.
I like how Dallas rebuild new buildings and businesses, but preserve certain buildings too. Like some of my favorite landmarks from my teens are still in existence in Dallas, but it's built up, like, you know, look like a whole new area. But there, I still see like my favorite places still in existence, even if they're not open, they're still like preserved.
Well, Dallas went through that too. They tore down a whole lot of stuff when they created that uptown area, and then they want to call something midtown. They've done quite a bit of tearing down too. But that's the difference in the United States and I would say Europe. But I'm just disappointed in how we like to go in and tear stuff down and then put up something real expensive and say, well, this is for everybody. No, it's not. You know, you're putting up that you say is beautiful and whatever, but it's for people who have money. And it's a shame with the homeless situation in Dallas because they are tearing down so much housing to put up something to so-called beautify the city.
Right.
And, Georgetown has torn down so much stuff till it just doesn't even look the same.
It breaks my heart just because where we lived, it was just Georgetown was just beautiful. And you think it was even more beautiful during your days. But it was just beautiful during my upbringing. I spent my first 7 years of life. And it was so beautiful up until Jackson was beautiful up until the mid-90s. But it was just so beautiful. It was just so beautiful. Manicure yards, clean. Georgetown was always clean. And And it breaks my heart when you go past where we used to live, 630 Scott Street and Whitfield's Mill Road, now Martin Luther King. But when you pass Scott Street and Cherry Grove, oh, my God. You know, some businesses are alive, churches are alive, but then Monument, what is it? Is it Merrill? Monument?
Yeah.
It just breaks my heart. Those buildings. Oh, Capitol Street, Valley Gas. Just, decayed buildings. So sad. And buildings that should have been renovated and other businesses should have gone in.
Yeah, and remember, my
they should have been preserved.
My nail gardens and the zoo.
Right. I've been planning to go to the zoo, and every time I meet some people, I'm planning, me and my one of my friend guys been planning to go to the zoo for ages, and every time I mention to people, well, you're only going to see one or two animals, but I love the zoo, and I just have this nostalgic feeling. And you're right, the zoo is just part of our lives. I think we went to the zoo. I think Mama took me to Mama and Beverly took me to the zoo like every Saturday. I promise you, it felt like I went to the zoo every Saturday. We went to Dairy Queen and we went to the zoo. After we cleaned up, we would do house chores on Saturdays, and then we would go to the zoo and the Dairy Queen.
Well, I remember going to the zoo as recently as 2006, because that was after my mother passed, and I was in Jackson visiting, and a friend of mine came by and got me and asked if I wanted to go to the zoo. And I said, yeah, you know what? I would love to go to the zoo. And we old grown folks out there at the zoo, and we rode. I didn't even know they had a little train at the zoo, but we rode. Of course, we were the only two passengers on there, but we enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
And you know where?
I hope they bring the train back. You remember that train was popular back in the 70s during Lee Keene? Remember Black Gold? Remember Lee Keene intro was them chasing it after the train and going through the tunnel.
I didn't know at the zoo, the little train at the zoo, I didn't know that. I remember Black Gold.
So I'm glad you wrote it in 2006.
I did. And when Michael Payne came home with me one weekend, and they were having blues in the zoo, one of the white radio stations.
Zoo Blues. They need to bring Blue Blues back.
Okay.
That was a fundraiser for the zoo.
Right. Well, I bought a T-shirt, and I kept that T-shirt until about 2 years ago. I was like, why am I hanging on to this? I wish I still kept it. But I remember I took Michael Payne, and the host, one of the guys from the radio station, was wanting to know where everybody was from, and I hollered out, Dallas, Texas, but I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. And Michael Payne said, I don't care where you go. You always say Dallas, Texas, but I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. I said, well, I'm proud of my city. I want people to know.
Well, that's
I'm
me. I claim both as my hometown. And look, and my niece Deetra, you were talking about you always were proud of Jackson. When Deetra was living in Detroit with her parents, she would always tell people she was from Jackson. She was so proud of Jackson.
Well, she had fun in Jackson. I remember that. I used to come down to visit.
Sometimes I would be in Dallas and she would be in Jackson. No joke. I would be in Dallas with her parents and she would be here.
Yeah. My mother used to just anxiously await Deetra coming down every summer. That was her favorite little great niece. She couldn't wait for Deetra to come.
Right. And but do you remember everybody? People would say, where are you from? But she would be here visiting. Right. I'm from Jackson.
Well, do you remember the night that you and Deetra spent the night with me? And Deetra kept waking me up talking about Cousin Henri was staring at her.
I do remember that. I'm glad you reminded me of that.
I was so sleepy.
Was
I didn't
staring
know.
At her? Was he staring
said,
at us? I was wondering why we were over there taking up space from his mama.
Henri was not thinking about Deetra. That was just Deetra waking me up. Cousin Linda, and I'd wake up, I'm like, what, baby? Cousin Henri is staring at me. I said, well, just ignore him, baby, and go back to sleep. About an hour later.
I don't remember him staring, but I do remember that.
Yes. I think after about the fourth or fifth time, I told Deetra if she woke me up one more time, that was going to be it.
Yeah, I think you did to mention about cutting our visit short or something.
Yes.
You know, I always love to spend my time with you.
I wasn't going to do anything to mess up my son.
Well, Dietrich had got on my nerves so bad talking about cousin Audrey. And I'm like, well, what is he saying? If he's not doing anything but staring and Bethany, why wasn't she asleep? What was she doing?
It sounded like the opposite. It sounded like she was staring at him.
Amen. But I'll never forget that. She's just tickling me, them cousin Audrey.
She couldn't sleep. She couldn't sleep for staring at him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Henri probably now, thinking, why is she keep looking at me?
Right. And I took y'all to Morrison's cafeteria for lunch or dinner. I think it was for dinner one night. And I was teasing y'all. I told Deeka she was going to have to wash dishes because I didn't have any money to pay for her food. And she started crying.
I think I remember that too.
Yeah.
I guess some good times. And speaking of lunch and dinner, tell us about your lunch date yesterday with your friends.
Well, we had a very nice time. I was surprised that as many people showed up. I just thought it was going to be Priscilla and me again. But Betty,
that's what you told me.
Yeah,
and then
Betty,
you told me you had talked to the ladies. But when you say you talked to the ladies, I'm thinking I thought it was just you and one person.
Priscilla naturally she always comes, and Tiffany comes most of the time, and Betty Jo and Kalitha came. So we
Kalitha came, yay.
Mhm. And after we finished eating and taking pictures, it's a nice shopping center, kind of big shopping center. And we spotted
what's the name of it? What shopping center is it?
Preston Village, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Preston Road and 635.
Preston Village?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Preston Village.
Yeah.
I do know that.
Yeah.
And did you go shopping? Did you go window shopping or shopping?
No, we went to the spice shop. I didn't know there was a spice shop there. Mm-hmm. So I think about three or four of us bought spices. I know I bought something called Turkish, and I was thinking about Salt Bay. So I bought Turkish spice and some black pepper because I haven't been able to get any really good black pepper lately. It's not hot enough.
I thought it was just me. It doesn't have that flavor anymore.
It really doesn't. So after that,
I'm sure if you bought it from the spice store, it definitely has kick.
Hate to disappoint you. I put some on my salad because that's why I was a little bit late calling in. I was eating. And I had sprinkled some on my salad, and I was just expecting a burst of flavor, but it really didn't. It was just like all the other black pepper I've been buying. I guess maybe black pepper, people just don't think it should be hot.
Wow. I thought it was just me. And then I'm like, okay, wow. Wow, I just knew coming from the spice shop it would be powerful. Wow. You tried the Turkish seasoning yet?
No, I think I'm going to cook something. I don't know when. Probably some chicken strips and season them with the Turkish spice and see. Because I thought it might have a real pungent odor or aroma.
Uh-huh.
And when I got home and opened it and smelled it, I couldn't really smell. I don't know what it is with stuff. Now, when I bought some spices in Dubai, they were pungent. They were really good.
Oh.
I told my friend, I said, we're going to have to go back to Dubai just so I can go to the spice market.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
it turned out well. But tell us about the food.
The food was delicious, and you get a lot of it. Priscilla ordered, I think, waffles And she had some really good sausages. She kept talking about how good the sausages were. And I hate to beg, and I said, well, do you mind if I taste a piece? So she cut some from them. They're good. Tasted like sausage from back when I was a child. Real good flavor. And I ordered blueberry pancakes. And my blueberry pancakes had blueberries in them. They were so good.
Did you post a picture of the blueberry cake? Because I haven't looked at your lunch pictures yet.
Yeah, I posted pictures.
That sounds delicious. Yummy.
Yeah, everybody said they were really, really pleased with the food. And like I said, you get so much. We usually hang around about 3 to 3.5 hours, but that place closes at 2:30 on Saturdays. And it was just really, really, really crowded, and we felt guilty sitting in there, you know. So after we had finished eating, I think we stayed for about 15 minutes talking, and I said, yeah, we better go ahead and go because they still had people waiting to come in. But
now it's a Canadian restaurant, and what's the name of it? But let's give them a shout-out.
The Maple Leaf Diner.
And what about the customer service? Sound like the customer service was superb. Because that was one thing we talked about on Friday, customer service at grocery stores.
Yes, customer service was very good. I forgot our waitress's name, but she was very nice and friendly. And we worked her I don't know how many times. Can you please bring me this? You know, we weren't trying to... We weren't doing it on purpose because somebody would say, I need some more of this. And I was like, well, can you bring me some, too? After she brought it to them, I said, well, can you bring me some, too? And she'd heat up somebody's coffee. And I said, well, can you heat mine, too? But that's a really nice tip because we all left individual tips. And I know we tip real well all the time. So we made up. People who don't know, if you've been in Dallas for, say, at least 20 years, this place is just south of what used to be Valley View Mall at the intersection of Preston Road and LBJ or 635.
Right. One of my favorite areas in Dallas. I know. People are trying to say all areas your favorite area.
I think so. Oh, Bethany, and I did that you are having your birthday celebration at Newsret. So they recorded the information in their cell phones and stuff. So they said they were going to try to make it. I don't know if they are, but I did tell them about it.
Good. And I sent you the invite, and they can confirm, you know, when it's time, you know, with you and I.
Yeah.
You and I are reserved.
Yeah.
Yes, but, you know, and yes. So I look forward to meeting your friends, and nothing's going to stop me from celebrating my birthday with Cousin Linda and the Mad Seniors. I hope the whole crew show up like yesterday.
Yeah, I do too. But you said you wanted to.
That was the whole crew of the time you guys did dine there, right?
No, Eartha, my friend Eartha has been out because she's ill, so Eartha couldn't make it. I didn't expect her to, and Laverne didn't make it. And Laverne didn't come the other time, the last time she didn't come. I don't know why Laverne didn't come. I'm trying to remember. But when we were there, you know, 2 years ago, I can't remember why Laverne didn't come. And so she was all excited this year, but then she was like, oh, well, school will have started by then. I said, can't you take off one day? Or
right. I know, that sucks. I hate that school starts before my birthday. Oh, that's crazy. Teachers have to go back to work, and then the kids are back at school before my birthday now. Wow.
Yeah. I used to wonder why they started school so early, but they have so much time off. We didn't have that kind of time off. You know, we didn't get a week for school. What is it, spring break? We didn't have spring break. We had 1 day for Good Friday, and that was it. and they get like a whole week for Thanksgiving. We got 2 days. So I guess they have to get that 100
And nowadays they take off for parents and teachers. It used to be back in the day they would schedule it before and after school, but now it's like how many parent-teacher days where the kids don't have to attend school?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, why you're not at school today? Parent-teachers conference. Like, okay.
I think in these southern, it's too hot to be going to school in August.
Right.
And even though the buildings are air-conditioned, I don't think they are ready mentally.
I agree for the students and for the teachers. I just don't think that the teachers should be going back to work either. Those that work in for summer school, okay, cool. But teachers that work the regular year and teachers, substitute teachers like you, should not have to go back in this hot, crazy weather.
It would be something different if it were the last week of August, but a lot of times it's the first week of August.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? This is crazy. Yeah. And they it was weird how they gradually inched the dates up. You notice that too throughout the year? They gradually moved it up earlier from after Labor Day to the end of August, then mid August, then early August. I'm like, wait a second, before my birthday. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And the teachers go back a week before the students do.
Right. I know. I disagree with that. I disagree with all of it.
Yeah. But, you know,
they need to do something about these all these off days. They need to work these all these off days out. they need to do something about this.
They don't need a week for Thanksgiving. More than likely, nobody's going anywhere. I don't guess. I don't know. But
now, Christmas and New Year's, that's understandable. I like that.
Yeah, and some places have Good Friday in addition to that whole week for spring break.
Right.
So,
I think some are doing Monday now. The Friday and then that Monday. I guess that's for the parents.
A lot of times parents don't have the means for the children to be out of school that much because that's babysitter for a parent. You know, when parents go to work, it's a convenience for them, for the children to be in school.
Uh-huh.
When the children are out of school, parents are like, well, who's going to look after you? You know, the little ones, the little pre-K and maybe up to 5th or 6th grade.
Right. And then even the age that you teach, parents at least I know they're in school and not just after. I know that's how I would be thinking. Oh, my God. You need to be, at least I know you at school. If they don't have a job or work, like you were saying, hustling their own legit business, I'm glad they're in school.
Yeah, it's not like it was when we were in school. You know, we had relatives that we could go to their houses and just people in the neighborhood. A lot of parents didn't work, and we could go to their houses or they keep an eye out on us. And there were so many activities summer. And, you know, I don't mean like just a lot of things to do, but we could go over to the schoolyards and they had, I forget what you call them, but we could go inside and play games because they had
Upper Bound? Are you talking about Upper Bound? I mean, in the Upper Bound was like a Tougaloo, but the summer school program. Right.
No, this was just like for just regular neighborhood. Mary C. Jones used to have something where we would go over and play and have fun with each other. We had softball. We used to like to play softball in that heat. It was nowhere near as hot then as it is now, but I used to love to play softball. And jump rope, jacks, and a lot of us already had stuff like that. You know, we could ride our bicycles everywhere. But it was, you know, use our imagination. We play games and just all kinds of stuff to keep you occupied. You know, we weren't just sitting mm-hmm. inside. And we used to go to what we call the show or the movies. And
yes.
we would go out shopping. Your sister Diane and our cousin Doris, we used to love to go downtown. We could go downtown and buy up a bunch of stuff with $1. Yes, we could buy Jack's, Bolo Bats, snow cones, popcorn.
Oh, I love Jack's. I love Jack's. Wow.
Yeah.
So you would buy so much for $1. And we get excited about the dollar stores, and you could buy so much for $1.
Uh-huh. Well, these were five and dime stores, SSC
uh-huh.
and Wolf. And you could buy 10 cents worth of Spanish peanuts, and you get a bag full of Spanish peanuts for 10 cents. And after we were down on Capitol Street, those people who watched Bell Collective, we turned the corner and go down Ferris Street. And, of course, we had to go by Big John's and get us some smoke.
And back then, they were, what, like 40 cents?
No, 10 cents.
Now they almost $2. Lord, have mercy.
And girl, we used to buy 5 and 10 at a time. Like when we knew we were going to the show, and we'd go up in there, 3 smokes, 2 hot dogs, and this and that. And then when we got in the show, we'd buy, your sister Diane, she always had more money than Doris and me. She would buy a pickle, popcorn, hot dogs, ice cream sundaes, and we were sitting there all day long.
Wow. See, we need experiences like that nowadays. And we're talking in medium-sized cities like Jackson and major metroplex areas like you are in. We need those little common places.
Yeah, for kids
you know,
to get out.
I know the big movie houses are everywhere in Dallas, and we need more. But we should be doing something with the Alamo.
You can't walk to them. You can't ride the bus to them, at least not where I live.
Uh-huh.
And see,
right.
back when we were coming home, we would take our bus fare and walk downtown. Little old bitty
right.
kids, we were 8 years old, because I remember.
But you
want to
invest that money in something else, like the 5 and 10 stores and your food at the show.
Yeah, I think bus fare was 30 cents, 15 cents going
uh-huh.
and 15 cents coming back. And we were like, we can just walk to the show, and that means we can get some more Big Johns or some more whatever at Woolworths and Crescent.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see
what is it, Crescent? What was it, Crescent?
Crescent. It was Crest.
Uh-huh.
They were right next door to each other, the five and dime store. Everybody ought to know about Woolworths.
Yeah, I remember Woolworths.
Yeah, because that's a part of the civil rights movement when people were trying to integrate the lunch counters at Woolworths. The Woolworths in downtown Jackson, Mississippi, they had the white counter when you entered. It was to the left, and the counter was in the back.
God, no who to hell. Wow. Let me be quiet. Go ahead, Cousin Linda, because I could not have taken it. I could not. If I walk in some place and see separate counters, oh, my God.
Well, it's what you are used to.
I'm a chameleon. What would I do?
It's what you are accustomed to. You learn about the Jim Crow laws. You know, you've seen the white and colored thing. Or pictures of it
right.
or whatever. I don't know anybody who really minded going back there to the lunch counter. Food was so inexpensive, and the counter help was so nice, because a lot of times we didn't even buy anything at the lunch counter, Bethany. We just go in and say, glass of water, please. And the waitresses serve us a glass
of water. Just to act like adults. just they feel like adults. Feel like, yeah, we're grown.
Just the fact that they had a lunch counter back there, and we would go and get a glass of water. Thank you. And we drink our little water, you know, socialize and drink water and then leave. And like I said, go around to Big John's and get the Big John 10-cent sandwiches. But, yeah, then when the Freedom Riders.
You're making me hungry for Big John's. Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah. And then the Freedom Riders. Down and, you know, started the integration thing. So they got rid of the, after the civil rights law was, you know, the act was into law, they got rid of the black counter in the back and everybody ate at the white counter.
But, you know, at the courthouse, at Hines County Courthouse, there's still some reminders of the colored and the whites only. Because I was an extra in The Ghost of Mississippi with Whoopi Goldberg, Alec Baldwin, James Woods. That was one of my greatest moments. And James Woods begged for me to take a picture with him. But I know when I was doing a scene, a background actor scene, I noticed they highlighted it. But they still exist. The black, the white only, and the black like water fountains or signs. They're hidden, but they're still in the building. And I know the producers and all, they would joke with me because I'm like, what year was that? It was like 1995, 1996, 1997, something like that. And I'm like, this is 1996. I'm like, because they pointed out to me that, hey, this is not part of, this is not like a prop. This is like still in existence at the Hines County Courthouse, you know. And so there's still reminders in the, they didn't remove everything. Some things are still down there. And I was like, I almost hit the floor.
No, Bethany, they should not remove it. We must never forget.
Right.
We need to.
But I was shocked. I was shocked that it was still down there, and the producers, you know, the crew, the production crew pointed out to me, that's not our prop. That's there. That's actually there. And I'm like, wow, this is not 19 whatever. I'm like, this is 20. This is 1996. And you're right. They just didn't remove it because it should be reminded. We should be reminded, but. I'm like, it's still alive and well down there. You can see it. When I go in nowadays, I don't ever think to look for it. But next time I go in the Hines County Courthouse, I'm going to look because it's visible. You see it when you least expect it.
Well, it's like the Jewish people, Elie Wiesel said, we must never forget the Holocaust.
I'm glad you mentioned that because when I was looking in the Dallas guide that I received yesterday, I see where the Holocaust Museum is in Dallas. I would like to visit that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my regrets is I didn't visit the, what was it called? Some kind of center. It was a Jewish museum. The name escapes me. And it was right over in the neighborhood, not far from where we lived. It was far, just a few minutes from North Park Mall. And I used to pass by there because it was there even when I moved up here. The Jewish, I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, I used to pass by there because I'd be taking a shortcut to North Park Mall. And I would always say, I got to go. And then even when they were announcing that it was going to close, I don't know why it closed, but I still didn't go and regret that because they had so many pieces of the Dead Sea Scrolls that were there.
Wow.
And lots of ancient Jewish
history. That alone should have been a reason it stayed open. Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I could kick myself for not going. And a lot of times, I had off days through the week when I could have gone and just didn't do it. You know, it's one of my regrets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopi Goldberg, who was in that, I noticed that she mentions that often on The View also, that we should not let it stay visible. Whatever we're discussing regarding race relations, let it stay visible. And women's rights too.
Yeah, that's the difference in black people and other races. Other races share their history with you, except for what's
right.
going on in Texas now. You know, they want people to know what's called their history, not our history. But we are...
I like how you said that, their history, not our history. Right.
Yeah, it's so painful for so many black people, and they're ashamed of our history. And it's not our fault. What happened to us in this country? And
I mentioned Mississippi, but I guess I know America history is checkered. Well, I went doing your introductory. I mentioned Mississippi's checkered history, but the country has a checkered history. Yeah. Not Mississippi by itself. It's not Texas by itself. The whole country has a checkered history.
Yeah, but the powers that be don't want people to know that. That's why they come up with this critical race theory thing. They don't want people to know how they enslaved other people and how they almost wiped out whole indigenous tribes of people. Because it's like, well, that happened way back then. You know, our forefathers did that. Yeah, but people need to know, why do you have certain people on reservations? Why aren't they in the general population? What happened? Or why are black people so unhappy with the way things are in this country? Well, if you know the history of the country, you will know.
And what happened to 40 acres and a mule?
It seems like everybody got some kind of reparation except black people, because the Japanese got I think each Japanese person, or if you had some Japanese blood, got at least $20,000. Indians have the casinos. I think Eskimos get some kind of station every 3 months or whatever. You never hear them talk about that. And same, you know, just like everybody, like I said, got some kind of compensation rather than black people. And we promised 40 acres and a mule, they say.
Right. And even our Indian friends who know that many of us have Indian blood, they try to get us to get involved with the reservations and with the casinos. Because I know here in Mississippi, when the first time I stepped their foot, at the Pearl River Resort, they're like, do you have your CDIB card? You need to get it. Because they can look at you and I and our family, and see the Indian in us. When I was working in Choctaw in Durand, Oklahoma, as soon as they met me, they were like, you need to get your CDIB, you know, so I could get benefits from the tribe community. But, yeah, you make a good point. Everybody gets some type of benefit. But us, but African American, black.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people like to say black. Some people like to say African American. Some people like to say American. So I'm just whoever's listening. Like I'm American. I'm not black American. I'm not African American. So, and that's another thing, Cousin Linda. What you have to say about that? We're the only ones that don't know who we are.
Right. We can't agree on
that. I'm giggling and keep them crying.
Yeah,
right.
You have black people tell you, well, black is a color. And I'm like, well, it's not just a monolithic word or whatever. Words have more than one meaning. Africans refer to them as the black man. And then you have to, and so I don't identify as African American because I don't know where I came from in Africa. Africa is a continent.
Right.
Now, if Africa were a country, say that, but Africa has how many countries? 100 or 54? Something?
54. Oh, yeah.
And so even after I went to Ancestry.com, they come talking about I have some European blood, so I don't know All I can do is say, well,
I definitely believe we have French blood in us. And you,
well,
I don't know. You probably, you like you, yeah, you. Oh, look kind of. Oh.
Well, I think Ancestry.com said I was a lot of Ghana, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and then
Okay, you can keep talking. We had the background noise, a call that was coming in. Okay.
Okay. I'm supposed to have blood from Ghana, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and then I think at least three European countries, and I don't even want to identify with a European country. I'm just so
you
mixed
don't.
Up.
As much as you want to travel to European countries, the only African countries you've been to have been Egypt, right? Morocco. Have you been to Nigeria?
Morocco. And you know why I don't claim European blood? It's because my female ancestors were raped.
Because our great-great-granddaddy, he was white, and I feel like he's French. But it seems like Aunt Christine and Mom and your mom, it's like I was the only cousin that would claim and want to hear the stories about our great-great-granddaddy.
Yeah, I thought he was
everybody else. I didn't even know you weren't interested. But I know the other cousins like, I don't want to hear anything about that mixed bloodline.
I never said I wasn't interested. I said I don't claim it.
Oh, yeah, that's different. That's a big difference, yeah.
Yeah, big difference. Yeah, I mean, I know I have that in me and a smidgen of Indian because my wife, Mama Emma, was about half Indian or a quarter Indian or something.
Right.
But I don't know part of Indian. But European blood, no, honey, you ain't gonna never hear that be coming out of my mouth. I got some Irish in me and some French. No, I have African in me. Oh, I hope I'm not offending your listeners.
No, you're not. And it's so amazing because most of our listeners are from European countries, too, and they love our discussions.
Oh.
No, you're not.
Oh, okay. Because, I've had people white. They ask me, are you mulatto? And then my first thought was that I want to slap your head. No. Mulatto.
I know people are looking forward to you and I traveling. Me, who have never traveled abroad, and you, who are royal travel. That's a reality show right there.
It's a reality show because you will never guess, Bethany. I can't tell you how many people have wanted to know what race are you. What are you? I had some kids as recently as last year. I was subbing at one of the schools. So most of the students were Hispanic. And, they were whispering among themselves. And so one of them called me over to their little table, and they said, are you Mexican? Because I could speak Spanish.
Right.
And I said,
they probably waiting for you to throw out some Spanish.
I took Spanish in high school, and then I met this young man from Mexico when I was here. He used to work with me and Diane at Frost Brothers, Jesus. And so I was telephone operator, and we had all these Spanish-speaking customers, and so I asked Jesus to teach me some Spanish. And because a lot of the customers didn't understand English or didn't speak English, and so that way I could communicate with the customers. And so I remember a lot of those phrases. And so that particular day in school, these kids wanted to know what race was I. So they said, you Mexican, aren't you? And I said, no. They said, well, you speak Spanish without an accent, so you must be Mexican. I said to myself, now, I know blankety blank well I don't look Mexican, but they were going on the way I was speaking Spanish.
Oh, no, Cousin Linda. I think they have a point. You probably,
And then, one of them said, I know you Puerto Rican. No, you're not a Mexican. You Puerto Rican. I said, no, you must know I'm a black American. Now you Puerto Rican. She Puerto Rican. And I'm telling myself, what difference does it make? I don't ask them where are they from. I just know they're Hispanic, which could take in a lot of things. I worked with a Mexican lady one time, and she said, well, she didn't want to be called Hispanic because that was equivalent, in her opinion, it was equivalent to being called the N-word. And she said she was Mexican-American, and she wanted to be referred to as Mexican-American.
And right before the podcast, my neighbor from Mexico City was over here. I thought she was going to be here when I started the podcast because I'm like, I'm preparing the podcast. I'm like, let anything keep me from running, make me run late. And so she left right before showtime, but I thought she would be here and be all speaking Spanish on the show, but she left right before the podcast. But I noticed that, and I tend to say Hispanic, but when I've always been fascinated and loved the Latino and the Chicano culture, but then I don't hear Chicano often, but I know speaking with one of the gentlemen next door, he mentioned to me, he's from Mexico City too, some are from Guatemala, but he mentioned to me he's been in Mississippi for 20 years, and at first he was back and forth, and he loved Mississippi, and he, you know, doing very well here, live up on the reservoir and everything. But he mentioned that, back to what we were saying about we have so many, he noticed that there's not that many Mexicans in Mississippi, but Latinos from everywhere. But you make a good point. They know their names are associated from where they're from.
Yeah,
we don't have that.
I was taking attendance one day, and it was a very small class. I think it wasn't but about six people's names on the attendance sheet, and only two people were in class. So, you know, and we're required to take attendance and call each name, even if you know the student is not there. The requirements are that you still call the name. And so I called some name, and so one of the young men, one of the students that was in the class, said, that's a Honduran name. And I said, because a lot of the students will tell me they're Mexican. So I'm thinking you're Mexican-American, but they say Mexicans. I don't get into that because I don't want to offend anybody because I know how pissed off I get. When I was in elementary school, Bethany, I had one of my little black classmates tell me that I looked Egyptian. And one said, no, she looked like an Eskimo. And, you know, people don't realize.
Well,
you know,
your mom, my mom, and you, and my niece, Nicole, you guys have Asian eyes to me. I guess that's those Indian eyes. You all have, like, Asian eyes. Mom had very Asian eyes. You have, like, those Asian eyes. Your mom and my niece, Nicole.
Well, and like I said, and people don't realize that when they say things like that, you know, it might seem like
my apologies.
Oh, no, well, I mean, that's okay because I've been told that a whole bunch of times.
Uh-huh.
They said those eyes, your eyes.
Yeah.
And I know I have that puffy-like thing over my eyes, and Asian people call it something or what. Because I was in Hawaii one time, and this lady, I'm going to say Chinese because I don't know what she was. But anyway, she came up to me and started speaking the Asian languages. It might have been Mandarin, Chinese or something. And I said to myself, now, I really don't know what I look like, but I don't think I look Chinese. But I have been told that about my eyes. No, I'm not offended or anything because
For you, your mom, my mom, and my niece, you guys, you have beautiful eyes. I love those eyes. Beautiful.
Thank you. And I always wanted deep set eyes like your sister Diane.
Yes.
I was talking to one of my guy friends the other day, and somehow I mentioned Diane, and he said, oh, yeah, I remember Diane. She had them big, pretty legs. I said, yes, she did.
She was petite but had those big, pretty legs, and mother had the most beautiful legs, too. Your mom, too. What about your legs?
They've always just been super straight to me.
Oh. But, yeah, I know that because of that. My sister, Diane, beautiful. I'm calling beautiful legs, petite but beautiful legs. It's, wow. And mom always had beautiful legs. And I know your mom did, too. Wow. But back to like race, Cousin Linda, also some regarding, now I feel we're saying Hispanic, and I'm always saying Hispanic friends and my Hispanic. I better stop saying that. My Latino friends or neighbors. But I know on my trip to Miami, I was talking to the housekeeper, and she explained to me that it's important to know, to refer, if they're from Puerto Rico, they're Puerto Rican. Don't mix them up. So I guess that's where the Hispanic come from. That's that, like, being too general,
well,
and also it's not respectful. But she's like they don't like to be mistaken. Like, do not call a Puerto Rican Mexican, and do not call a Mexican Puerto Rican. She was like, that's a no-no.
Because one of my friends, I haven't talked to David in a long time. He was supposed to meet me in Hollywood, but he had some kind of accident, and he never did get back with me. And I really hate that, too, because we were really good friends, but he was Puerto Rican.
Right.
Born and raised in San Francisco, but he always referred to himself as Puerto Rican. And somehow somebody referred to him as a Mexican. And you talking about fighting mad. He didn't like Mexicans. So I'm thinking because they don't have this Spanish blood. But anyway, like I said, David was quite offended that somebody thought he was a Mexican. And Hispanic. Now, one Mexican person was telling me that Hispanic came from Hispanola, which is, I think, Central American. Yeah. And some people will tell you they're Mexican-American. Some say they're Mexican. So I don't know. But then, like I said, this young lady told me she didn't want to be referred to as Hispanic. So I just say Spanish because their language is Spanish.
Right.
Because I'm not too offended.
What's our language? Cousin Linda, I'm glad you mentioned that. What's our language?
We don't know. We have to. The dominant race's language, English. Now,
that's
course,
another thing. Most nationalities have a language.
They have a common language. They have nothing else. But we don't.
Wow. Ooh, this is a deep conversation. Whoa.
Because Africans don't want to be, you know, they don't really claim us as much as we love the mother continent.
And most Africans can speak like five different languages because of different tribes with different languages.
They do. They do. And they are more educated than we are. They speak French, Spanish, English, their native tongue, a dialect. Most people around the world speak more than one language. Americans, because of imperialism and arrogance, only speak one language. Because I always said that we're bordered by Canada, which is English, but they have that little teeny beany sliver of French up in Montreal, Quebec. They speak French for the most part. A lot of them, I'll say. And then we're bordered by Central America, Mexico, and South America. You would think Spanish.
And sometimes
would have been
they speak. And sometimes. In Canada, don't sometimes they speak the UK English, you know?
Yeah.
They
but a
more
lot
so
of
than
them,
American English.
Well, the Canadians that I came in contact with had like a Midwestern accent. You know, you would think that they were Americans. So I couldn't detect anything other than it sounds just like regular American English to me. But they could tell I was from the South.
Right. Right. Regardless of how proper we speak or how well versed we are in our English language, that Southern accent, they might not get Mississippi, but they would say, "Are you from New Orleans?" Close to it.
Oh, no. We don't sound anything like native people from New Orleans.
New Orleans, no. Whoa, yes. I love New Orleans accent.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Right.
You say New Orleans, but if you are from New Orleans, they say New Orleans.
Right, N-A-W-L-I-N apostrophe. I mean, yeah.
N-A-W-L-I-N-S, New Orleans.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Now, one guy that...
Now, you all, we love New Orleans, too. We love New Orleans, too. I love New Orleans I love Dallas. I just haven't been there in a long time. And that was my first family trip with Mom and Ned when I was 6 months old before they split, was New Orleans. Because we say New Orleans, but New Orleans. I love New Orleans. Before the crime got bad, and I used to drive to New Orleans by myself.
One of the ladies that was with us yesterday, Tiffany, who doesn't like to appear on Facebook, so I don't take her picture.
She always seemed like the mysterious friend. She always seemed like the mystery friend. You see her food, or you see where she might be seated, but you never see her.
I asked her, was she in the witness protection program, just joking? And she said something like, because she's from Buffalo, New York. And she's been down here. I think she said she's been down here 8 years. But anyway, she had just gotten.
Does she still have her New York accent?
No, she's from Buffalo, so she doesn't have that New York City and Bronx and Brooklyn accent. She sounds like just regular Midwesterner or something. But anyway, she was telling us about her first trip to New Orleans, and I think she got back one day last week. But anyway, when she was telling us about New Orleans, we got so tickled because I said, if you've never been to New Orleans, that is an experience like no other.
Exactly.
Our class picnic to go to New Orleans, and I had heard that they sold kids liquor and then the winos would be asleep on the sidewalk. And the first time I saw that, I was just in a state of shock. And we could go in the liquor store and buy wine and stuff, and you come out and you see all these winos and what have you. People just step over like nothing. And then all those clubs in the French Quarter, you know, no big deal if you go up in the club. New Orleans.
The party. Right.
Yeah,
I have been on business trips there and with managers, and it just, and you know, it's just what the kids say, turned up.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to New Orleans, it's just turned up. And, yeah, it's a lot. It's a religious city, too, but, woo, it's a party city.
Religious, what kind of religion? Are we talking hoodoo, voodoo,
you're right, Cousin Linda. It depends on which religion, too. Right.
The
most beautiful churches. I said most beautiful churches, but then you're right with the other practices. It is a religious city. Regardless of what you're into.
Yeah, if your listeners have never been to New Orleans, I highly recommend it. Try to go when it's not Mardi Gras, when it's not so many people, and you can get all over the city because the traffic is horrendous during Mardi Gras.
Right.
A lot of the streets closed off the quarter. Streets that are not normally closed off, they will close some of them off to traffic. And you got so many people from every
And I love the shopping. I haven't been in a long time. I love to go again soon. But the shopping, I always love the shopping in New Orleans, too.
Yeah, I used to go down there. Me and my ex-husband used to go down there. We might wake up on a Saturday morning and say, well, what are we going to do? We wouldn't have anything planned. Let's go to New Orleans, because it was like a three-hour drive.
Right.
And I think about 2 hours, because people can do 75 and 80 and get down there in no time from Jackson. And that's
how my friends and I would be, like back in the early days when I was Tony Brown's hair model and something like the hairdressers and hair models. We were like, let's go to New Orleans, you know. Or sometimes when I used to go by myself, I'd tell Mom, well, no school, no work, I'm going to New Orleans. And she would be like, okay. You just keep in touch. Let me know where you're, you know, when you get to your hotel. And, you know, that was crime always been, well, New Orleans, people always would tell you to be safe. But it was when the crime wasn't like it is today. But just keep in touch with me. Let me know where you at and what you're doing and blah, blah, this. But, you know, it always was a breeze. I never had any problems traveling New Orleans by myself.
Well, when I went down there, the first time I drove down there, my mother was scared to death. And somebody had told her to tell to park, if I park my car in the quarter, don't lock the doors, because if your doors are locked, they think there's something in your car to steal. So if the doors unlocked, they figure there's nothing of value in there, so they wouldn't bother it. And so me and some friends went down there one weekend, and we ran into some more of my friends from Jackson, and we were talking about how crazy the people drive. Because I had never been to Dallas or anywhere, you know, a huge city like this driving.
Right.
And my friend and I both were talking about, have you ever seen anybody drive like this in your life? People in New Orleans did not stop for red lights. They did not stop for stop signs. And if you stop for a red light or a stop sign, they'd be cussing. And then there were signs in the quarter that said, do not park on the sidewalk. And I was like, well, who parks on the sidewalk? I looked around and all these other cars parked on the sidewalk. So I parked my car on the sidewalk. And we were gone all day and just about half of the night. And when I went back to my car, there it was, untouched, on the sidewalk. And my girlfriend and I, the other friend that had come down there, we were like, this is crazy. We had never seen anything like that.
Wow. And the tourist attractions you mentioned earlier about the winos, but the tourist attractions and whatever you're there for, business meetings, because a lot of business meetings are held down there. Whatever reason you travel to New Orleans, listeners, like Cousin Linda mentioned earlier about the winos, the locals. Definitely interact with the locals, but you have no choice to interact with the locals. they are the tourist attraction at times.
They are. My mother and my stepfather and Glenn and I went down there one weekend, and so they was, you know how they sell the Lucky Dogs, the hot dogs on the corner that they call Lucky Dogs in New Orleans, and so we decided we wanted to try this. Dogs. And so we went, and we didn't know this guy's hands were going to be so nasty and filthy, but I said, these are some of the best hot dogs we have ever eaten.
That's what I was about to say. I think the locals say he's the best in town.
Yes, indeed. His hands were so nasty, and so we were saying, we got nervous. We didn't want to say, I ain't buying this, not with them nasty hands. And my mother and I used to talk. Time to time. Remember when we went to New Orleans and bought those Lucky Dogs and the guy's hands were all nasty?
I can just see imagine how those hands
look
too. Grimy.
Yeah, we are grimy. It was like he had been walking on his hands in the street. They were nasty. And he over there fixing food. And any other city that was shut down. But not New Orleans.
And probably the police officer's favorite place, too. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no problem with him. His food is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't think they still have the naked lady that was on the swing, swinging out the building down on Bourbon Street.
Oh, right. Yeah, they always talk about Vegas. I haven't been to Vegas yet, so we got a lot of traveling to do in the States and abroad. But they always say what happens in Vegas, stay in Vegas. But New Orleans, New Orleans is the same way, the Big Easy.
If you want a totally unique experience, it's New Orleans. Las Vegas is all And then you can just walk down the street.
You can just be walking down Bourbon Street, not even Bar Bourbon Street, and you will just have the most fun. And you're right, because London, it doesn't even have to be Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is just the icing on the cake. It's Mardi Gras all year long.
Accents. People in New Orleans have that weird accent that we were talking about.
I don't guess
I can say weird. And I know my mother and I, we had split up. My mother and I were going shopping, and Glenn and my stepfather, AJ, went somewhere. So my mother and I decided to have lunch at D.H. Holmes. Do you know the girls that were serving the lunch didn't understand my mother and me? And we didn't understand.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because her accent was so thick. We didn't know what she was saying, and we don't know why she couldn't understand what we were saying. But me and my mama were like, ain't she from down here? I guess. But we had to point to what we wanted. So she really did not know what we were saying, and we didn't know what she was saying.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I remember. Oh, D.H. Holmes, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was so glad. And we used to go shopping because they had Maison Blanche, and they had Godshaw's department stores.
Right.
And Glenn used to like to go down there and go shopping. I used to shop at a little place in the quarter called Donatus Boutique. It was owned by this black lady named Donna. And she had the cutest clothes and accessories that you were not going to find anywhere else, because she had that one boutique.
Mm-hmm. I have an art gallery, too, down there. I think it was on St. Charles, though, an art gallery that I loved. Wow.
And then they have the artists down there that you can get your portrait sketched or painted. You can take the paddle boat ride on the Nassau. Glenn and I did that one that Saturday. We went down there. I'll never forget. We did so much in that day, and we couldn't find a vacant hotel, vacancy at a hotel or anything. So we just drove back to Jackson about midnight. But we did a whole bunch of things.
Because I've been thinking about doing a day trip on Amtrak to New Orleans and Memphis, doing a day trip to Memphis and New Orleans. I've been thinking that for a long time before mother passed away. I need to do a day trip on Amtrak because I've never been on an Amtrak. And Cousin Linda, I have good news, too, from Mississippi. They're in talks regarding Amtrak route to Dallas and to Atlanta.
Oh, that'd be great.
But, you know, Yes. They had a meeting at the state capitol with Amtrak. And they said there's already a track that they can use owned by one of the railroad companies. But like one of the lawmakers said, it will take a while, but I hope it doesn't take a while to get it situated, because that would be awesome.
You know what? In this country, it's a crying shame that we don't have bullet trains. Everybody else in the world has trains, but we don't have one because we can't get it passed. You know, it's always somebody not in my backyard, because we just knew they were going to get the bullet train from Dallas to Houston. But I think that's scrap, because so many people, I don't want that coming through my neighborhood, and they can't get it passed. And people from countries like China or Taiwan or in countries, they say when they get to America, it's like, ooh, this is like going back in time. But,
When I'm looking at YouTube videos and I run across those bullet trains, and I'm just amazed. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. Wow.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Because I was so glad I could ride the Trinity. That was my first time ever being on the Trinity. I love going from Dallas to Fort Worth on the Trinity. That was my first time ever riding the Trinity. I always ride dark rail systems, but that was my first time ever getting on the Trinity, and that's amazing. You know, I made it from Union Station downtown Dallas to Fort Worth in like 30 minutes, 45 minutes on the Trinity, on the TRE.
Yeah, I've seen it on TV, and as long as I've been here, I've never done that. So I envy you.
I'm like, what? This is amazing. This is amazing. I had no idea. I mean, you're like, wow. And other cities need that. You're right. And we need bullet trains. Those bullet trains are fast. I was looking at one in Tokyo, Japan. Woo!
They got them. And we will never get bullet trains unless it's maybe 100 years from now, if the country is still around. Because we can't get past politics.
Right. And it's amazing the things you see in your travels. Because, you know, I'm like, I always wanted to travel, and I thought I would have dual citizenship in England and here. But I'm thinking, well, America is the leader of the free world, but all the other countries are ahead and more advanced than America in so many industries.
Exactly.
And so beautiful and clean.
Yeah. Like
so
the airport.
Beautiful and clean.
Yeah, because I used to be fascinated at airports in other countries. Because these, in my opinion, airports, they're getting better. But airports in America, they used to be in what I would consider just sterile. It was like it's a place to go and get a plane. You either land here or you take off. But when I would get to other countries, man, these are beautiful airports. There was so much to see and do just at the airport. So a lot of the cities have caught up.
Immaculate, huh? Just beautiful, impeccable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're finally realizing the necessity in having a beautiful airport. But I feel like
Union Stations and airports should be welcome centers. I feel like even in Jackson, I feel like the Amtrak and Greyhound's not down there anymore. But I feel like that Union Station, that should be a welcome center. Any city or town, village, your transportation, transit area, planes, buses, trains, should be like a welcome center. So it sounds like in your travels of many airports think in that manner. This might be the only representation a person have of this city or town or country. So we're going to make it the best experience.
Exactly.
Like what you mentioned to me regarding Jackson Everest International Airport. I had no idea. And so many people travel through and come to Jackson. So many people this month are coming traveling to Jackson, not just through, but coming here. So it should be like a welcome center.
So Jackson's a destination right now. A lot of people come in there.
Yeah, so many events. So many events, the Mega Everest event. I mean, so many big names in town this weekend. Cousin Linda, Al Sharpton, Kevin Frazier, co-host with Rita Brennan, you mentioned the other day, the big event at the convention center. So many people. So the people that they're promoting that are in town, I'm thinking, just imagine who's on the down low here. You know, who's under the radar here.
Where is Rita Brent? Because she used to post those videos all the time, and I haven't seen any of her videos lately.
She had moved away because her career really shot out, and she had moved away, and then she comes, she's like dual, back and forth, because she does one of our car dealership spokespersons, so she's always on their commercials.
she was saying that she had moved to New York. That was when her career was about to really take off. And then COVID hit, and she was saying the cost of living in New York was so expensive, because I think she said she had to have a roommate or something. And anyway, she was saying it was just too expensive to stay in New York, because a lot of the gigs that she was going to do with COVID, the places at the venues had closed and everything, so she came back to Jackson. But you know, she used to be on YouTube doing them prayers and stuff.
Right.
How she'd be praying, and she would be praying, whatever. But she's hilarious. I just love her. But
she is hilarious. I didn't know about her, much about her, until I was driving back in the U-Haul truck in 2016, coming from Sherman, Dallas, Texas, with my pet, and I was listening to the Ricky Smiley show, and he was praising her by Rita Brent from Jackson, Mississippi. Yeah, so I heard about and knew about her as a local comedian, but when Ricky Smiley give you your props, you know you're on your way. And that was around the time you seen that YouTube video.
Yeah, because she can really do some crazy prayers.
Oh, man. I have to check out her YouTube video. I know that was funny, the little funny song that she did about Kenny Stokes and the mayor a couple years ago about when Kenny Stokes said the mayor was on, need to stop doing them drugs.
She made a little funny song.
Yeah, she made a little funny song off of that. That was so funny.
I'm going to have to go to YouTube when we get offline and pull up some Rita Brent videos and share.
Right. And look, you might pull up the other night's event at the convention center, the really nice gala event that honored Mrs. Merle Evers Williams. Because Al Sharpton was there and many of what was that group that Michael Jackson had produced? Brownstone, Kenny Lattimore were the entertainment. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Kyle, I didn't know stuff was still happening in Jackson. I thought everybody would be afraid to be out over there with the crime.
Right. And then Tuesday, the GOP, nationally known GOP people will be in town for a big, I got an invitation 2 weeks ago to that event at the Coliseum. So, yeah, people are not as scared of Jackson as they claim. Right. And then the National Black Caucus, I think Nancy Pelosi and many others are supposed to be coming to town this week, also this month. I seen a quick story that National Black Caucus were bringing Nancy Pelosi and a couple other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Nancy, but I really thought that was cool what Nancy Pelosi did last year when she went to Taiwan?
Last year, I think.
Yeah, it was before the holidays. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was last year. It was before her husband, yeah. But I like Nancy, to be honest. Some people might say, what? But I like her.
I don't understand people who don't like Nancy. That is a boss lady. Nancy knows her business. She knows how to get things done. And she doesn't just know how to get things done. She gets things done.
Right.
Well, a lot of times when people criticize women, it's because they're jealous. They don't want to see women succeed and excel. So when you hear a lot of negative comments, a lot of times it's coming from a person who's envious or jealous.
Right. And Maxine Waters is another lady that I like. And people used to always say negative things about her, but she would make things happen. And she was bipartisan. To me, they're bipartisan politicians, too, not just women, but they try to make things happen for the people.
And a lot of people are talking about our president is too old. Nancy Pelosi ain't no spring chicken, and neither is Maxine Waters. And they get things done just because you are of a certain age. does not mean that you're incompetent or senile.
Right.
But yeah, they like to make fun of people who, I guess, are past 35. But we need somebody that's younger, and what are you going to do? Just because you are younger or young does not mean that you are capable of carrying out things that need to be carried out. That doesn't mean you have certain skills. You might think you do, but that job is tougher than a lot of people imagine.
Right. Oh, my goodness. And I kept the show for a 90-minute show, Cousin Linda, and I knew when our time was up from the live stream, but it just ended from being on air. I like to conclude for us to do our takeaways, but that was a good takeaway, I guess, when we started talking about women, and that goes back to women, like you were talking about race relations. We can't erase what we women have gone through, and. And Nancy and Maxine are perfect examples. And you have mentioned Liz Cheney. You have even crossed party lines and mentioned Liz Cheney. You know, the women that stand up for what's right.
Yeah. Well, all right, cuz, since the show ended, I'll go ahead and let you know. Are you on tomorrow?
And Cousin Linda, we didn't even get a chance. We didn't even talk about self. What I'm promoted the show as self care, and I thought we were going to talk. You were going to talk a little bit more about Bell Collective. We didn't even talk about self care and Bell Collective.
It's probably
but traveling is and going to places that you enjoy and eating. That's self care.
Yeah, but it's probably good we didn't talk about Bell Collective because you probably didn't see my little thread or whatever. Me and some of the folks that live in Jackson and people that live, one of my former classmates is in California, another guy that graduated near is in Florida. Child, we be talking about Bell Collective like a dog. Them folks so damn crazy and country. They can't keep the storyline straight.
Because I got a bench. I mean, because it might be made here, but I'm not a watcher of it. And so I need to binge on it also.
Well, most of the scenes are not in Jackson. They be in Flowood, maybe Madison.
Right.
But most
exactly.
of the over County. I'm like, I don't know why they didn't just film over there. I guess some cities didn't want them niggas embarrassing them. So they let them say that this, but half of them don't even live in Jackson.
They really don't. But one, I think the newscast member, she's been on the local news. She and her football player husband, a former football player husband, they want to renovate, help be a part of revitalizing Ferris Street.
Sure.
So she said, are you watching this season? Because I think she said that there would be more scenes of like Ferris Street district.
Bethany, it started out with Latrice, I think is her name, who was going to revitalize and rebuild Ferris Street. That's supposed to be the crux of the storyline. Girl, that's a hunk of shit.
She did a sit down interview with WAPT like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago,
talked about how she's gonna
see so much of Ferris Street on this season and next season's Bell Collective. Are you kidding me, Cousin Linda?
They talked about. You need to go back and. If you can't get it on demand or whatever cable company you have, you can find a lot of that shit on YouTube.
I'm a binge watch it for our discussion. Oh my God,
girl, it's just fake. It is so fake, Beth. And so yeah, now they done brought in with
so like she got married at Ferris Street, you know, Baptist Church, and how is Ferris Street so important to her, and she. And then getting up, and I'm thinking I need to watch Bell Collective because I want to see this because I haven't.
Baby,
I don't watch it
because I'm okay. Her grandfather, it might be a great-grandfather, and her uncle, you know, they taught at Lanier, the Hollies, and I went to class
right.
With her aunt.
Kevin Holly, man, yeah. Right.
So she come, when they brought her on this season, last season.
Right.
She came in on season 2, I think. And she's royalty, Jackson, Mississippi, royalty in Ferris Street, this, that. And I'm like, all of them can go to hell. I was born on Ferris Street. My mama had me in a black doctor's, they called it hospital. I figured it probably was a clinic. But Dr. Christian is the doctor who delivered me, baby. I was born on Ferris Street. So they ain't got nothing on me.
So you, look, you wear the crown for that. You talking about real royalty.
That's right. And I've always been proud because back there when black folks used to be ashamed of Ferris Street, you might not know that.
Right.
But once upon a time, black people were
actually proud of Ferris Street. It's always so beautiful. Right. If you had told me Ferris Street would be a ghost town, now I would not have believed you.
Me either. And like I said, honey, I've always bragged that I was born on Ferris Street. So, and then this business of so revitalized Ferris Street. I'm like, yeah, just like the B.B. King project and all that. It'll never come back to what it was because black people.
She did this big interview. She did this big interview with 16. When did it premiere of the new season? Like 3 weeks ago? 6 o'clock interview.
Yeah.
No joke. And,
girl,
she was just going on and on how you're going to see so much of Jackson this season and next season. Oh.
And
it piqued my interest. I said, I might start watching it.
They're going to talk about all this Ferris Street stuff, and she's supposed to have 10 folks backing her. And yeah, you just watch this shit. But anyway, Beth, I'm going to get on off the phone talking in a few minutes, and I'm going to get on here and post some of this Rita Brent stuff and Ferris Street.
Right. And I'm
going to
binge watch this Bell Collective for research, because that's why I said we need more reality shows about the Jackson Metropolitan area that shows the metropolitan area inside out, not outside in.
Ain't nothing reality about that show. Them some fake-ass niggas and all them sweating around there.
And Kevin Linda, you said, I done made you bring out the N-word, Cousin Linda. Lord.
Fake-ass niggas wearing designer clothes and driving, I've seen every kind of luxury car except a Rolls Royce, I think, driving Bentleys and Range Rovers, Porsches, and touting themselves as
myself.
Because when they were talking about it before it aired, they were promoting it. Talking about these black millionaire women in Jackson, Mississippi. I said, well, if they millionaires, I know they don't live in Jackson. Ain't nowhere to live if you a millionaire in Jackson, not even Woodley. So, and black, because they all run to Madison County and Rankin County, honey, not Hines County. But anyway, cuz, what time is the show tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we 4 o'clock. So I'm going to go ahead and work on that topic. I love that topic about the discontinued fragrances also, and makeup too. We need to do those together, makeup and all these new lines. It's nothing like those good classic lines.
Right. Well, okay, maybe we can stick to the topic of discussion, but don't ask me nothing about Bell Collective, girl, because I'll go left. And it won't be nice. It won't be.
Wait, that was number one topic, Cousin Linda. That was your number one suggestion, Cousin Linda. You put number one, Bell Collective. That was your number one suggestion.
I thought that was because you suggested it.
I don't even watch it because you're right.
Well, I don't know why I put that on there because I didn't know I was going to go left on Bell Collective. Probably because me and some of my friends were going back and forth because me and my friends been laughing at them and talking about them. and we ain't got nothing nice to say. Girl, you need to read. You need to be on my little feed on Facebook and see how we done criticize.
Right, because I seen your feed about Saltine's restaurant, and you said, "Well, I've dined there before."
Yeah,
but that was the one time they was in Jackson, Southern London. That's the one time they were in Jackson, huh? And the other time they be in Madison, Flowood.
Yeah, but I'm going to say this, and I'm definitely getting off the phone. Because, see, we used to watch it on Friday night, and then Monday night, Otha came live. We be on Otha online rehashing it. Honey, Otha be talking about him like about Otha, too. But anyway,
and one of them, Sherry, that's one of his friends he worked with before at 97.7. Lord, I can't believe that.
Campbell Sherry, child. He be talking about him like a dog, just like the rest of us. But anyway, I will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
You
bye-bye.
Have been thinking about a blueberry cake and Big Apple Inn. And now I definitely got to binge watch Bell Collective.